Welcome to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I am Chris Farley, Farley Betts on X, Pro Sports Bettor, football contest specialist, won significant prize money in Circa twice the last 3 years. That is the Circa Millions contest. Shout out to Circa Millions in the contest again this season, along with Survivor, of course, 18 million on the line. Let's go. As a reminder, I will provide my insight here on a weekly basis, including leans on every game. Some of these leans will be actual plays, bets I'm making and giving out to my paying subscribers, but I will not and cannot indicate that on this show since the show is open to all and that would be unfair to my paying subscribers. You can become a paying subscriber to the Farley Betts Substack by visiting my Substack at farleybets.substack.com. That's FarleyBets.substack.com. You can also get my daily or weekly plays at sportsmemo.com, although I would only say if you want a full season package, please go through Substack. It gives me 100% of the proceeds. Well, I guess not 100% because that has to go through Stripe. And, you know, I get a much greater percentage of that cut, which keeps my business running, keeps the lights on over here so that we can give you insight from a pro bettor every single week for free on this show and other articles that I put out. Okay, so every week, every game covering these matchups. Last week we went 3-4 for minus 3 units. Two really bad beats in two of those games. Could have been 5-2. The Thursday night over was insane that that didn't happen. And the Ravens were up by 15 with 4 minutes left in that game. So that's the way the ball bounced for me. That's the way the NFL is. We move on to week two. Again, just want to emphasize that this show is for the common Joe or Josephine, for the guys and girls that get to the window later in the week. So this show is for you, not for the pro sports bettor. Like, you should already have your bets in, right? This is for the common man, the common woman, trying to earn an extra buck and win a little bit more in their sports betting cards. Okay, finally, this podcast will be available via Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and of course on Substack. Let's get right to it. The Washington Commanders at the Green Bay Packers. Jaden Daniels has never played a Lambeau Field before, so you got to figure that only incites more focus, more excitement for Jaden Daniels. Now, there is some initial movement showing in this game. The Packers go from -2.5 to -3.5 at home, which is to be expected after how good they looked last week against the Lions. But the Commanders also commanding their own respect a little bit because now it's at 3, and even at 3.5, that's a very short spread for a short week road game for the Commanders, and still oddsmakers, bettors think they can keep this one close. I mean, Jaden Daniels continues to be masterful. Like, his pocket presence is unbelievable. He's much faster than people talk about. His speed is, and like his torque, right? How he gets going out of the pocket is tremendously fast. Just great decision maker on the field, poised, smiling out there, even when a play goes wrong and he knows that he has to do better on the next play. I like everything I see from Jaden Daniels. Jordan Love also played great. Green Bay looked great last week. You know, how hard is that to recreate when you're facing a divisional foe, someone you're used to, someone you wanted to beat really badly because they beat you twice last season? Now here comes the Commanders, who are unfamiliar. Jaden Daniels has never faced the Packers before. And I think the Packers might be surprised about just how creative and savvy and refined Jaden Daniels is as a quarterback now. Jaden Daniels did take a few sacks last week. I think Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons can expose that a little bit in their pass rush. Like, Jaden Daniels is not going to get away every time. The Giants have a really good front seven. So do the Packers, especially now with Micah Parsons. I think the game is going to be decided on that side of the ball. It's Jaden Daniels versus a really good Packers defense that got even better because of Micah Parsons. I think the Packers will score their points. Commanders are a good, not great defense. More veterans. They played well last week, but it was against the Giants. This is a little different at Green Bay. Lean Commanders, lean over 48. In the end, I think this is a battle of two quarterbacks. And I like the fourth quarter going over too. It's at 13.5. Both of these teams, if you look at their past 5 to 6 games, a lot of high scoring fourth quarters. LA Rams at Tennessee Titans. Tennessee's defense is legitimate, that's for sure. Made Bo Nix look below average last week. To be fair, Bo is kind of average himself. Like, when he faces a good defense, we see that. Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, that combination of quarterback and coach is not average, right? The question is, how limited can the Titans make that Rams offense? I mean, the Rams wide receiver depth chart is so legitimate, you know, between Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua, you know, Tutu Atwell is still there. Tyler Higbee is a great, you know, just solid tight end, is always going to catch the ball, it seems. So it's a hard passing game to stop, but Tennessee is talented, especially in the interior part of their defensive line. You know, they really looked like they could hang with the Broncos all game and might have won that game if Cam Ward wasn't a rookie in his first contest against a really, really good defense himself. So, I think this game will look a lot similar to Houston and the Rams last week. A lot of defense, low scoring. The Rams defense is very good too. I mean, we saw how well they played against C.J. Stroud, and the Texans are going through some changes offensively, but still, Rams were flying around the ball. They're right there, held the Texans to only 9 points. Lean Rams, -5.5. Lean under 41. I think the Titans offense will decide this game. Cam Ward, first home opener as the franchise quarterback. Kid has poise, but it is a really tough spot again against a really good defense. I mean, Cam Ward, you're going from the Broncos in week one to the Rams in week two, and the Rams are fringe top 10, if not already there defensively. Seattle and Pittsburgh, probably the game I've looked at least this week, and here's why. Seattle coming off a home opener, and now they're 0-1, so they'll play hard in this one, right? They want to avenge last week's loss. Disappointed probably especially by their offense and the way it played. Now, their defense did look very good, especially in stretches last week. Really limited San Francisco in like the meat of the game, second and third quarters. Now, Brock Purdy made some plays at the end. Could have easily been an interception on that final throw, actually. So, I mean, the Seattle defense kept them in the game. Seattle's offense has explosivity problems. I talked about that earlier this week. I don't know how much better that's going to get this week, right? Because Pittsburgh defense is going up against a poor offensive line for Seattle, who allegedly, apparently, is not going to attempt as many passes, only 23 passing attempts last week, trying to be a run team. But this Pittsburgh defense, after a poor performance, truly, against the Jets offense and Justin Fields, they need to avenge themselves. Pittsburgh is also coming, you know, off of a rare, like, emotional, highly motivated situation where they wanted to beat the Jets, who were coming after Aaron Rodgers and wanted to beat Aaron Rodgers. So it's a different energy this week, right? Like, these are interconference teams. They're really unfamiliar with each other. But Pittsburgh is at home, and historically, I mean, it's one of the better home field advantages. But I would expect much better results from Pittsburgh's defense. Going to be interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers can keep the efficiency going offensively, because if he gets pass rushed, and he will, if he gets harassed in this game, and he will, you know, he's prone to more injuries. He's not as fast as he used to be. That Pittsburgh offensive line, to me, was the biggest vulnerability that they have, and they're going to have to control it, because Seattle can at least hang around in this one. I still lean Pittsburgh -3 and over 40, but probably one of the top games that I would just stay away from this week. Buffalo and the Jets. Now, this game is another very hard situation, because obviously a lot of positive sentimentality about the Bills. But they were losing by 15 points with 4 minutes left, and they got a little fortunate, didn't they? I mean, Derrick Henry has to fumble that ball. Good play defensively, but, you know, if he doesn't fumble that ball, if the Ravens go for it on 4th-and-3, I think they probably get the first down. The Bills didn't stop them for that entire game. 8.6 yards per play for the Ravens last week against the Bills. Now, still a great team, because they have a one-of-one quarterback, maybe a quarterback that's playing the best football in the NFL right now. But the Jets were impressive too last week. I mean, nobody expected Justin Fields and the Jets to control time of possession 35-25, to run the ball as well as they did, to score as many points as they did. Right? Justin Fields said it. He's confident. 32 points against a Hall of Fame defense. And the key for the Jets is always going to be controlling the ball. Like, if they can keep this run game going, the run pass option with Justin Fields, they can be a more dangerous team. This is obviously a divisional rivalry. So I think in the trenches, it's going to be physical. I think both defenses could really win in a lot of situations here. Quinnen Williams and the Jets front seven definitely showed some things last week, sacked Aaron Rodgers a few times. Now, historically, the Bills' run defense is average to good, but they were horrendous last week. You know, so if the Jets can keep that downhill running game going with Fields, they can certainly stay in this one. That's why we did see this line drop a little bit. It's still Buffalo minus six. In the end, I do think Josh Allen will be too much for the Jets defense. He is for most teams. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be able to move away from pressure in a more fluid fashion, that's for sure. They also have the run game and the Josh Allen run pass option available. But I think this is a chippy battle. I lean under 46.5, lean Buffalo minus six. But another game that I would say is, for me, psychologically more tougher than others, right? You have a fat and sassy Bills team coming to New York, but they probably should have lost last week. And then you have a Jets team who could have easily won, and now they're 0-1. So it's a dangerous situation for the Bills. Bears at Lions. Major line movement here following Monday Night Football, because everybody saw the way the Bears looked, and it wasn't great. The first quarter, first half, you're like, wait a second, this is a different Bears team. This is, oh my goodness, like Ben Johnson's making a difference already. Caleb Williams looks more confident, aggressive, made some great plays. I mean, Caleb Williams, the natural skills, you know, the natural arm talent and athletic ability really jump off the screen. I mean, you know, the guy looks like an immature version of Patrick Mahomes, but all the like tangible attributes are there. But it turns out, right, that coaching isn't an easy gig at in the head man job, right? As the leader of the team there, Ben Johnson, and they made some mistakes at the end of that game. Their defense capitulated once the Vikings were more aggressive offensively. And now Detroit heads home also 0-1 with decreased expectations on their team. A lot of trash talking about the Lions and what they may or may not be this season after they got throttled by the Packers. And now a major challenge for Ben Johnson against a team that knows him, a hostile crowd. Lions will be desperate for a win. This is a winning culture, a team that's been at the top of the NFC for the past two seasons. There's a three seasons. It's been a while now. The Dan Campbell era has been good to the Lions. So, you know, Chicago's 0-1 too, but what should I be impressed by? Because while Caleb Williams and the Bears produced at the beginning of the game, very clumsy, not great on third downs, not turning things into points or drives into points, I should say. You know, the rookie quarterback, too, on Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy, he gave the Bears a touchdown, right, with that pick six. That was an awful throw, awful decision. But, you know, eventually the Chicago defense didn't play as well. They weren't thriving anymore when the rookie started figuring things out. Well, Jared Goff is no rookie, and this Lions offense is not, you know, a beginner roster. So I think the most likely scenario is that Detroit figures it out. This was minus three Lions, went up to minus 4.5. Now it's up to minus six. I lean Lions, lean over 46.5 in that one. Giants and Cowboys. I was eating a bagel before. I wonder if that was like a bagel crumb on my face or something. You ever see that episode of Friends where Joey has like jelly in his hair? Like, that's me sometimes. I'm just eating like a damn caveman over here, and there's like, I don't know, debris on my face. Giants and Cowboys. Giants are my team. You probably know that by now if you listen to me or listen to this show in the past. Big time line movement in this one. And I agree with it. Like, I struggle to see a way that the Giants can hang with a good offense if Russell Wilson is still under center, right? He's just not the same guy he used to be. I remember 5-6 years ago, there were whispers about Russell Wilson, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, about Russ coming over to the Giants. I was really excited about that idea. I was like, man, he could change our franchise, you know, transform our offense so that we're finally a winning group, an exciting group. But Russell is not that guy anymore. His athleticism, his ability to get out of the pocket isn't there. Still throws a pretty good ball, but there's some juice that's off of his arm too. And the Giants are still far too beholden on a really pedestrian run game. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, so I have some like bias and like anger here about things like this, but the Giants for the past 10 years, I swear to God, every first down, it seems like, is a run play up the middle that goes 1 yard. I mean, it's unbelievable. No matter who their offensive coordinator is, they're just like, you know what? This is going to work now. A run play right up the gut, for negative 1 yards, for 1 yard, for 1.5 yards. Like it's awful and it's constant and it doesn't change. And I'm not sure why, but until the Giants have Jackson Dart back at quarterback, I don't see it for this team. Now, Malik Nabers can do some damage in this matchup. He was prolific against the Cowboys last season, 184 yards and 20 catches in two games against this team. Didn't get a touchdown, but I'm sure he would love that in Dallas. But I also love Dak Prescott in this matchup. He looked great last week. The offensive line held up. The run game was better than expected, 115 yards. And historically, this just hasn't gone well for the Giants, right? Two years ago, the Giants started off against the Cowboys and it was like 41-0. I don't know if it's going to be quite that, but I lean the Cowboys minus six and over 44.5. I think the Giants muster some offense some way eventually against a Dallas defense that isn't as good, but the Dallas defense played okay last weekend, so not bullish on that either. Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. You probably know a lot about this game already because it's one of the more talked about ones after the Ravens loss and Jim Harbaugh not bringing a lot to the table as far as finishing those matchups where they're winning by double scores. I mean, I've seen that too many times with the Ravens. Now you got to figure the Ravens coming back home after that loss, so disappointed, are going to maintain that killer instinct throughout this battle. But you also have Joe Flacco returning to Baltimore for the first time on a different team against the team that gave up on him, still in the NFL, threw for nearly 300 yards last week. Some unfortunate interceptions, some a little more bad luck than bad throwing. But this game will be won or lost and covered or not covered by Flacco's success. Like, we know that Lamar Jackson will get his eventually. The Browns defense, by the way, played really well last weekend, just harassed Joe Burrow that whole game, dominated in total yardage in that game, almost 200 more total yards for the Browns in that contest. So, you know, there's certainly a route where Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore offense is at least limited. And Myles Garrett already has two sacks out the gate. Like, this Browns defense is better than we think. Their offensive line was better than we thought they would look last week. You know, but it is a very big line here, 11.5 on the Ravens. Hasn't been that much movement. I've been saying all week the difference between 10.5 and 12.5 is not that significant. You know, obviously, if you want the Browns, you'd want 12.5 instead of 11.5. But key numbers-wise, it's not that big of a difference. I think that Flacco plays well enough and the Browns defense is good enough to keep them in this game. So lean Browns, lean over 45 in this one, because I think that's fueled by some Flacco renaissance in this showing in Baltimore. 49ers at the Saints. Purdy is the reason for this line move here, dropped from minus six to minus three. Total has dropped along with it, understandably. I mean, I don't hate Mac Jones at quarterback and a Kyle Shanahan system. He's a good dink and dunk quarterback. He does take too many risks out there, though. So, I mean, an interception is probably coming at a certain point for the 49ers for Mac Jones. Now, the Saints defense looked more formidable than we thought they would last week. I don't know how much of that is Kyler Murray just kind of not having a lot of juice. Apparently, Kyler Murray had a lot of diarrhea before last week's game, so maybe he was just a little slower than usual. But the 49ers offense is really banged up all over, really, right? No Kittle, now no Purdy. Wide receiver room is bad. This should be a huge Christian McCaffrey load in this game. And Arizona ran 446 rushing yards on the Saints last weekend. So maybe you look at Christian McCaffrey in your fantasy this week. That seems like a pretty obvious grab there. The 49ers defense did make some big plays, and they looked better now with old defensive coordinator from the Jets right over there now. What the hell's his name? You know his name. But he's a better defensive coordinator than he is a head coach, and he's back over there with the 49ers. So they did some good things. I think they can expose Spencer Rattler, who had a better-than-expected game in his opener, but is just not a good quarterback. So lean 49ers minus three. Lean to the under 40.5. The totals come way down for good reason. I mean, where's the offense going to come from in this game? Patriots at the Dolphins. Man, I can't touch the Dolphins right now. It's gone from bad to worse. I talk a lot about quarterback and coach tandems and how much that matters in the NFL. Talk a lot about how culture matters in the NFL. McDaniels is, I think it's certain that he's losing the locker room. Tyreek Hill wants to leave. he was saying he did not like Tua's performance last week, like losing faith and trust and nice semantics about Tua is not a good thing. Now, the fact that odds makers have this down to -1, right? The Dolphins were -2.5. It's down to -1 at home against the Patriots in September. Like, that used to be a dominant spot for the Dolphins at home in the sunny, hot weather of South Florida, where they can sit on the shadowy, cooler side of the bench. Still, it is down to -1. But I also don't know what to think about the Patriots. Like, they showed some promise in some ways, I guess. Like, some Drake May drives were good. Most of their yards came after they were losing to the Raiders, like 6 points after the first quarter. It didn't look very good. The front seven showed some things. 4 sacks against Geno Smith, so that was impressive. But I don't know if I am, like, wholeheartedly impressed by the Patriots after week 1. They have a lot to figure out. So really tough game. Honestly, I don't like either side. Like, maybe betting New England +7 in like a teaser or something. But then, you know, then the Dolphins will figure it all out and put up 40. So this is just really unpredictable. I actually lean under in this one. I think it's sloppy. Lean Patriots, but I don't, you know, this is a game that I'm truly not going to bet. I promise that to my free and paying subscribers. Staying far away. Jacksonville at Cincinnati. The Jaguars are giving off good vibes for the first time in a long time. They announced that Travis Hunter will play more on defense. That's more of a good thing than a bad thing, I think. He's just a high-energy, positive guy there for the Jaguars who's willing to do a lot. I mean, they completely stymied the Panthers on defense last week, but it was the Panthers, right? This is a different beast in Cincinnati, but Cincinnati also has no defense. And I think there is enough playmaking and positive signs from the Jacksonville offense to think that they can do well. I mean, 200 yards on the ground last week for Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence still just kind of looked okay. Like, I don't know. He's just not amounting to what we thought he would. But he should thrive against the Bengals defense that we just don't trust. This game will be won, in my opinion. The spread will be covered or not covered according to the Jaguars offense on the field and how much actually, you know, they put up and how well Trevor Lawrence does in this spot on the road against a bad defense. Like, Trevor, these are the spots where you have to do really well. Like, you have to carry your team to a victory here. Lean Jacksonville +3, which was, I believe this was up to 5.5 or 6 at the opener too. Lean over 49 for obvious reasons. I think Burrow and the Bengals are going to be fun to watch all season. Lots of overs, but always at risk to lose because of that defense. Carolina and Arizona, two teams that look far different on paper, but you talk about Arizona, I mean, I mentioned it before, they really had no juice last week, like 4.5 yards per play. The Saints got 4.7. Like, when the Saints and Spencer Rattler and that offensive operation outplays you in yards per play, that's not great. You know, Arizona is at home. They have a young cornerback that looked really good last week. You know, Trey McBride is a beast at tight end, but I'm just used to seeing disappointment from this team, which starts and ends with Kyler Murray. I mean, really, across the roster, I don't see any great leaders. I don't see anyone that's, like, amping up the team, including their coach. I don't think he's a natural leader either. And on the other side, things were a mess for Carolina, but a lot of unfortunate things. Like, they allowed a 71-yard run early in the game. It's just kind of like a, you know, like a poor defensive execution plan there. Turnovers early, and they didn't look good. Like, Bryce Young's interception was terrible. So there's a lot to clean up, but they at least know what they have to clean up. They're 0-1. They're going to be motivated to get that back, to get in the win column. I think this is a little too much inflation on the Cardinals right now. I mean, Cardinals up to -6.5 at home. I don't trust that team, but I don't trust the Panthers much either. I will lean Carolina, lean to the over 44, because I think there's going to be a better game from Bryce Young. Broncos at the Colts. This is down from Denver -3 to -1, which is interesting because obviously Bo Nix didn't show much last week, but their defense did. And Denver is a team I loved coming into this season, but, you know, they're probably only going to go as far as Bo Nix goes. And when Bo Nix faces a good defense, he's not very good. Now, the Colts defense looked very good last week. But again, everything about the Colts, the success on both sides of the ball, Daniel Jones, like, people thinking maybe he's going to be a bigger deal now with Shane Steichen is going to be a success in Indianapolis. Let's just slow down a little bit. I'm not so sure about that. And it's because they face the Dolphins in week one. And there are some obvious, real, serious organizational problems in Miami right now. So what about when this Colts team faces a really good defense? Because that's what they're getting this week. Now, you know, it needs to be said, right? Daniel Jones was very efficient. Great use of wide receivers. Tyler Warren, their new tight end, looks fantastic. Pittman had over 100 yards. I mean, their offensive line held up really well. The Denver front seven and Denver defensive line against the Colts offensive line is going to be really interesting because, again, I've said this plenty, when Daniel Jones starts getting in his head and starts losing pocket awareness, he is not a good quarterback. He was pretty safe, pretty easy and free-flowing last weekend. You better hope that he can still be that way, that his offensive line can protect him and Shane Steichen can draw up a game plan that keeps him protected, or else this will not go well for the Colts, in my opinion. But still question marks on both sides. Like, is it real with Indy? And is Bo Nix going to look like that again this week? Lean Denver -1. Lean under 42. I think Indianapolis comes back to earth and the Denver defense controls that game. Eagles at the Chiefs. Super Bowl rematch. Everyone's loving the Eagles, which is very interesting. Like, I'm seeing them number one in power ratings from, like, everybody. I guess who else are you going to put there? You know, Buffalo maybe? But they got kind of lucky to win, right? So you kind of have to put Philly there. But they were a CD Lamb catch away from a loss last week. Dak picked them apart. Now, Jalen Carter wasn't in the game, but I don't think that's just a Jalen Carter thing. Like, everybody else was out there, and their defense looked susceptible, vulnerable. Kansas City hasn't gone 0-2 since 2012, a.k.a. the Matt Castle era. Chargers played perfect football last week. But will Philly have the same juice coming into this one on the road? At Arrowhead, just feels like a Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City special, Andy Reid pulling out all the stops and creativity from a play-calling perspective. You know, Philly's run game held them up as usual, but the Chargers couldn't do much of anything on the ground last week, and the Chiefs, again, are going to try and force Jalen Hurts to win this game for them on the road, hostile territory. When they're trying not to go 0-2, I got to lean Kansas City +1 in this one, under 47-2, because I think this is a big performance by the KC defense, and it feels every bit like a rivalry, right? Because maybe it will continue to be that in the Super Bowl. I don't think so this year. But obviously two teams that have some history now. Under 47, lean KC +1. Falcons and Vikings, Sunday Night Football. I detailed this game already on Substack in long form, so I'll keep this one a little shorter. I'll deep dive on quite a few night games this season because I have to write it for other publications anyway, so I'll just reshare it on Substack. Minnesota down to -3.5. They were at 4.5. Totals down to 44.5. Kind of disagree with the direction of both of those numbers. You know, Minnesota is the more buttoned-up organization. Atlanta started off really hot last week, but then kind of fizzled, 6 points in the second and third quarters. Now, Atlanta's defense looked better than I thought, but, you know, now Minnesota starting to figure things out. J.J. McCarthy, 21 fourth quarter points. Their offense was rolling, got more aggressive, trusted the new quarterback, and he showed up. Home advantage is huge for Minnesota as well. Atlanta could not stop third downs last week, 7-for-14 and third down conversions for the Bucs. Minnesota kind of thrives at execution. Like, that's what Kevin O'Connell and his game planning is all about. And Minnesota still has the far better defense. So, you know, -3.5, certainly -4.5 was steep, but I still lean to Minnesota -3.5, lean over 44.5 too. I think that's a quarterback battle. Two guys that faced off in the national title game 2 years ago. Another rematch here. And, you know, listen, Michael Penix Jr. showed some really good things, confidence, has a good arm. And I think J.J. McCarthy is going to take off after that fourth quarter performance. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be Dan Marino, but I think he's going to do just fine. Tampa Bay at Houston, really tough situation for the Bucs, who are 1-0, second straight road game. You got to figure Houston's going to come out on fire in this one as they look to avenge their loss last week. Tampa Bay is still missing Tristan Wirfs, their best offensive lineman. They looked stalled at times last week, although Baker got it done. You know, 3 touchdowns, 7 out of 14 on third downs, like we mentioned in the last analysis. Maybe they're missing Liam Cohen a little bit, but I do think Tampa Bay will figure it out. I just think they're Tampa Bay's lack of a pass rush could really hurt them in this game too. I mean, Houston's offensive line is so shaky, but if CJ Stroud has some time behind center, like if he can chill for a little bit and make better decisions and not be rushed on every play, which historically Tampa Bay's pass rush has not been very good, then CJ, who's a real leader, by the way, like CJ called out his team over the week, expects better results. I love how vocal he is now in his third season. There's still high expectations for them. I think Houston's defense comes out really, really aggressive, and they try to win this game early and take a lead. That's why they're -2.5, in my opinion. Like, you know, the defense at home, fired up. I also lean under 43. So Houston and under 43 for me is where I lean in this one. But really interesting game because you got two teams who are just composed so differently. Tougher spot for Tampa Bay, that's for sure. Finally, the Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders. I have a longer narrative on this game that I'll share on Substack, probably Saturday or Sunday. Line has moved down from -4.5 to -3.5, favoring the Bolts. I don't agree with that movement either. I mean, Vegas succeeding in New England is different than succeeding against Jim Harbaugh's program, and the Chargers showed me a ton last week. I mean, they're coming off extended rest too, right? Like 10 days to plan for this game. Now, Geno Smith was very good. He was good against the Patriots. He was sharp with his passes, looked comfortable, aggressive. But I don't think he'll be quite as comfortable against the Chargers defense. I mean, he did take 4 sacks last week, but like the Chargers are coming. They're flying around the ball. This is another AFC West matchup. You know, New England's offense was the issue last week, but the Chargers are showing no signs of any limitations on offense. Justin Herbert played, in my opinion, like probably the most perfect game of his career. So the Chargers are just riding like a lightning bolt, for lack of a better way of saying it, right now, even into Vegas. And I know it's 2 straight road games, but you know, I trust that Harbaugh's second year and the way this team looks is going to continue, whereas the Raiders aren't going to get the luxury of playing the Patriots every week. Lean Chargers -3.5. No real thoughts on the total, actually. I'm just going to hold off on saying anything there because I think it could really go both ways. With that, we're over 30 minutes, right on time, though, with how we try to keep these shows. Check me out at Farley Betts on X. Subscribe, farleybets.substack.com, as soon as you can. Become a free subscriber. You get a lot of free insight, a lot of great, you know, shows and content and various things. I'll have guests on eventually on the show, too. But if you want every one of my picks, then subscribe as a paying client on Substack or at Sports Memo. Thanks once again, everybody. It's week 2. Let's go. See you next time.